And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend, had a safe weekend, enjoyed the weather. Did get a little spotty rain, but overall, hot, hot temperatures. And hope everybody enjoyed a little extra time off and was able to get out a little bit more than normal. We'll get into a lot of things. It's good to be back this week for the next 4 hours. We've got another tremendous show lined up for you. Darren McFarland here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donnick is continuing to hold fort over there in East Nashville, where we have been now for 2+ months. I guess it's coming up on 2.5 months doing this from our homes.
I just want to set the record straight, though, Darren, that even though you use the term, right, I actually do not live in a fort. I am holding fort, but I do not live in a fort.
Well, Stanley is very protective, so you could call it a fort.
He is a good guard. Yes, he guards the moat in our fort.
You could call him, you know, he's guarding the fortress. So that's kind of the way I took it.
I guess there aren't fish in the moat. Otherwise, he'd get distracted.
Fish. Definitely. Yeah, if there were fish in the moat, forget it. Stanley's going diving every day. Chase McCabe over on the west side in Bellevue, and Marquise Munson back at the wheel at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, which is our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com.
So I don't know if I remember how to get there. It's been that long since I've been there.
Well, it's kind of like riding a bike.
You might have to put the navigation.
I might have to.
Tools.
You know what? There's certain things that we don't do for a long time. You just remember, right? You have to trust your mind that you'll be able to figure it out on your own. I've got faith that you will not need GPS to get you back to the station at some point.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, who knows when that'll be?
I'm just saying. Everybody have a good weekend?
Great weekend. Great weekend.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Yeah, like you said, we had some showers here and there, but overall, it was a fun weekend. I was glad to have the little long action there with the extra day, so we made the most of it.
Yeah.
After this weekend, I have a little color in my skin because I was outside.
Oh.
So it was nice. Got a little sun.
Got a little burn.
Yeah, I was at – well, not too bad.
Because you don't really tan. It's like you probably more burn.
Well,
tan.
Here's the thing. Yes, you're right, because the Irish skin, you know, that
I know.
That's – yeah,
very
you know.
Very familiar.
But if I'm consistently out, this is where my mom's genes kick in, and I will get a little bit of a tan, but I burn first. Like,
okay.
So we're going through the cooking phase before I get the glow. But I was actually out in your neck of the woods in Rutherford County, so got out
really?
And about this weekend, yeah.
What were you doing over on these parts?
Well, I went to a friend's house and just chilled outside and did a little cookout, social distancing, but, you know, was nice to be around people. So
yeah.
So that was
sometimes
fun.
I wonder about Rutherford County, how much we're social distancing.
Yeah. Based on the traffic in Murfreesboro, I'm going to say not very well.
Yeah. Good to see everybody. You know, I also had Vince Ferrara send me some pictures from the Gatlinburg Strip. I guess I don't know why he was there, but anyway, he...
Yeah, you sent those to us.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good to see the Strip back open because it's been a ghost town for 2.5 months, but didn't love the pictures. You know, it's a small sample of just one little patch where Vince turns his phone sideways and snaps a shot of people walking up and down the sidewalk. It was basically for effect to see how many people are back out and about in Gatlinburg. That's great. The problem is there were a lot, and there in the picture that he sent, one person with a mask on. One. That was a little disappointing.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I noticed too. That and you know, I'm when I go in a store and everything, I'm wearing my mask and. But it's like if I'm walking outside, because I went walking around and done a lot of walking. And so I've noticed people outside walking around. They're not wearing masks.
Well, yeah, I understand that. I mean, when I did, you know, the 5K challenge, I mean, I didn't walk with Roman with a mask on. I mean, it's just me and him rolling in the back of the neighborhood. We didn't roll up on anybody. We're out in the we're in the back part of the neighborhood where they're building. So their streets are empty. You know, they're building homes. So. I mean, I get all that. I mean, I understand that part. But when you're on the Gatlinburg Strip, what are you surrounded by?
People.
Well, what else? You're not just walking to get exercise.
Yeah,
what are you doing on the Gatlinburg Strip?
You're walking in business.
There's a million stores, so you're going in and out of stores.
Right.
Which, by the way, on the Gatlinburg Strip, those stores aren't exactly huge. They're pretty small. If you've ever been to Gatlinburg and you've ever been on the Strip, those stores are pretty small. So you're doing some shopping or at least browsing or, you're going in and out of businesses. So that was the part that was just a little disappointing. But nonetheless, it looked like Gatlinburg was thriving this weekend, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. I think this was a weekend where people, I mean, me included, ventured out. You know, it was, this was I've been out and about some, you know, but this was the first weekend that I'm not going to say it was normal, but was the closest to normal that I've had in the last 2.5 months. Ventured out, went to a friend's house, you know, made sure I was cautious, but it was, you know, it was a nice weekend for it. So I think a lot of people have started to do that. And now we're officially in phase two here in Nashville.
Yes. As I took advantage of that yesterday, which was officially phase two.
Yeah, let's get the we got to get the info from Maddox. Darren and Marquise. Is
Marquise is not. He told me before. I'm gonna let the cat out of the bag. He said it's today.
Yep, it's today. 2:30. Look, me at 2:00. Okay. Zoom. I'm out of here. I'm going straight to the barbershop. And it's close by the station too, so I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maddox and I knocked it out yesterday. We got it done, man.
Yesterday.
Yep.
So you, I'm guessing you made an appointment before yesterday.
Willie, I did it on the air. I told you guys the minute the mayor came out and said phase two starts Monday, and salons and hair and barbershops are opening.
Get
back
on
up,
that phone fast enough.
I texted her as we were on the air. I told you Monday 12:30, done. Yeah,
well,
I mean, she's the owner, so it helps.
So does it look good? You
the
feel
lady
good about
does
it?
My hair is the owner, so I'm like, hey, yeah, I need you to make Monday work. I don't care the time. You just need to tell me when to be there, and my son and I will be there. 12:30 it was.
All right, good.
Well,
good. See, this is a problem I ran into, Chase, is as you know, for me, it's not an issue because this is one of the benefits of being among the follically challenged, as you know. But my son, Mahoney, he has not had a haircut in this whole process. So we're going on a couple of months. So he wanted to get his haircut. This was the issue. I called our go-to place, which doesn't really take appointments. But they got so swamped yesterday,
sure.
I couldn't get him in there until tomorrow. So he's not going until tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he said, well, if I've waited this long, I can wait 2 more days to go to my spot. So
well, where I go... Where I go is still closed, at least according to their website. I'm going to call them today. But a couple of other of the same chain are starting to open, and they usually have the online check-in, but they're making you call them. And then it shows you wait times for other locations outside of Davidson County. 101 minutes, 101 minutes, 66 minutes, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we're looking at right now. And Kathleen saw me post our video this morning and said that my haircut looks nice. No, I just brushed it. It's not no haircut yet. I've trimmed.
You
the
showered
beard.
And brushed it. That was
yeah.
Nice.
That's
so
what
that's a, that's you're kind of turning over a new leaf. That's good.
I am. Yeah, I decided to
shower
and brush
it,
my hair for you guys today.
Yeah.
So
that's excellent.
Yeah.
We left the airwaves, our show, the live portion, at noon on Friday because the build-up to Game 6 Remastered, we talked about it all week, and it was unveiled to the public Friday, and the last 2 hours of our show was Game 6 Remastered. I know, Chase, you filled in, and you were with Floyd in the afternoon. I think Ryan joined you guys the first hour. You guys kind of did like a post-game of Game 6 Remastered. So we have had a chance to talk about it, and it played. I was in and out of the car a lot this weekend, and so I was out and about, and I heard it playing several other times throughout the course of the weekend. So if you missed it on Friday, you certainly had ample opportunities to go back and check it out throughout the course of the weekend. What did you guys think?
Well, we communicated a lot during the airing of it, which we, at least I can speak for myself. Darren, I think you're in the same boat. We had only heard the first part of it. I listened start to finish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listened start to finish, and I did not get the least bit distracted. I sat in my chair pretty much the entire time taking it in. It was very, very well done. And I know we looped it a few times over the course of the weekend, so for people that did not get a chance to hear it from noon to 2 on Friday, hopefully you got a chance to hear at least sections of it over the course of the weekend if you were driving around. So job well done. Ryan Porath deserves a lot of credit. Of course, we all chipped in. We did our share of interviews, but Ryan put it all together. Pete Weber, of course, the master narrator from the start, and he and Brent Peterson, the great calls of the action back and forth while that game was going on. Just really well done. I thought it was top-notch.
Well, I'll take you behind the scenes a little bit. So Ryan, when he was starting the process of not putting it together, but the interviews were done, and now it's like, all right, we're going to try and script it all out and what works where. And so he started that, and he texts me, and he goes, I'm thinking that this needs – It needs a little more oomph. There's just something missing from it. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, do you think Pete would narrate this? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's it. That's exactly what you need to do. And so that he was able to get Pete to narrate it. He scripted it out for Pete. And that was that extra nudge that it needed. And so, you know, to echo what you guys said, you know, kudos to Ryan for his hard work and putting it all together. I mean, we all had our parts, but without Ryan, it doesn't happen. You know, Willie's ready to do the sequel. Willie was texting us with ideas. He's ready for the next one.
You know, hopefully we'll have some live sports to serve us here over time. And there's been, you know, continued progress on that. This will be a very, very big week, I think, as they try to get to that point. But in the meantime, I thought of a few in different sports that could be really done under this template, if you will, because I think the key, as you just said, Chase, is Ryan came across a template. We kind of took it from some things we've seen on documentaries done on MLB Network and NFL Network, where you get the perspectives and you have the highlights and you mix all these things together. That's what makes it flow so well. I just thought if we took this formula and applied it to a few other things, we could have another great couple hours of radio.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's definitely something we're going to look at. And as a tie-in, Floyd and I did a segment where we played some highlights of the AFC Championship game from 99 and kind of did a revisited deal with that. So we had some fun as a nice little tie-in. And you could tell Floyd enjoyed going down memory lane. So there are a lot of different things.
Well, that was one that I thought of right away. If we could pull that off, the 99 AFC Championship game, because that game had a lot of twists and turns too. And that was the equivalent of what we just did. That was the first time the Titans broke through and reached the Super Bowl.
For sure.
No doubt. I thought it was well done. So hats off to Ryan Porath for all of his hard work and putting all that together. And I too just sat there and listened the whole time to all 2 hours on Friday, and have listened to it many times since. And I tell you what, I thought Ryan did a really good job of I thought it started off with a bang. I mean, I really did. I thought like the first – like if you weren't hooked on the first segment, I don't think we were going to get you. You know, I mean, that to me that was – he threw the bait out there, and he threw a really attractive bait out there. I just thought it wasn't like a slow buildup. It was kaboom right out of the gates. It drew me in immediately, and there was just no way that I was going to turn away. So I thought that was well done to really just kind of, you know, that first segment it got your attention pretty quick. And so good job on our interviews. And, of course, Ryan did all the stuff behind the scenes. And, of course, he was a part of right there with the interviews that we conducted just privately, because I think he wanted to listen and formulate in his head, okay, what just was said. Maybe he was marking things in interviews. I'm sure that was the case, and saying that would be a good thing to put into this. But I just thought it was well done, and it was cool to go back down memory lane of what Friday was 3 years ago. 3 years ago when the Predators punched their ticket into the Stanley Cup final and they eliminated the Ducks.
In fact, our next Golden Classic on Fox Sports Tennessee is the Anaheim series. I think tonight is game one. I think that James Neal overtime winner, which was definitely documented in our piece that we did on Friday, and you heard Pete's call of it, so you can watch that entire game. The four victories of that series are coming up, so two this week, two next week.
Sounds good. All right, speaking of that, we will come back. Also, if you missed our conversation with Philip Forsberg, it was really good. You're going to want to hear this. Philip Forsberg on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's bring in Predators forward to Philip Forsberg. He indeed is on the line with us. Phil, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing fantastic. What have you been doing with your time away from the ice, as we've all been spending a lot of time at home? How's quarantine been for Philip Forsberg?
I mean, it's been challenging, but it's I guess it's been as good as it could have been, I would say. It's been, me and Aaron have been just hanging out here, and been going, driving down to Georgia to her parents, and been spending some time with them too. And yeah, while in the meantime, yes, staying safe and trying to maintain it, just those two places, which has been good. So.
Okay, you just brought up your girlfriend. The video that we have seen on the basketball court, be honest, was that one take? How many takes was that? That was fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't do a whole lot. It was I just had a supporting act, I guess.
But you had to give her the perfect bounce.
That was high skill on
actually,
both ends.
Phil, you got to give yourself credit, really man. Good. Both were great. You had to be working together to make that work.
Yeah, no, it was. I guess that's it was definitely a teamwork. But it took a couple of tries. We had something a little more advanced with a couple more elements involved to start. But we realized fairly quick that was not going to play out. So we went to this one that once we decided on this one, it was only I think four or five tries. So it wasn't too much into it, but yeah, it was fun.
Oh, that was fantastic, man. I was giving you the claps on that one. That was really fun to watch. I watched it multiple times before I was finally done with it. We're kind of taking a stroll down memory lane. I don't know how aware you are of what we're doing coming up at noon. Game 6 remastered. We're going to do a deep dive into your all's elimination of the Ducks. This is the three-year anniversary today of you guys punching your ticket in the Stanley Cup final. But before we talk about that series, let's just kind of get your mindset. Let me start with the series against Chicago. You guys are literally the last team to punch your ticket into the Stanley Cup playoffs. So you go in as the 8 seed. You're going up against the big bad Blackhawks, who have won 3 cups in the last 6 years. Even though they're not the defending cup champs going into that series, they're still the 1 seed in the Western Conference, and they've done a whole lot of winning. What was the mindset at the time as you guys were heading into that series?
I mean, we were confident, I would say. I think, obviously, we knew, we saw everybody, all the so-called experts call us, there would be, 4 or 5 games for Chicago. That's what most people said. And obviously, that put a little extra fire under us. But also, like, I felt like we're going into that series. We had played them, obviously, a bunch throughout the years, and we knew exactly what they would bring. We knew they would be skilled and fast and try to play it that way. And we matched our lineup perfectly, like, credit to the management. They made some changes, and those changes really paid off. And I think that was the system going through the whole playoffs. Like, we ended up beating them, obviously, and moved on and played St. Louis, which is a big, big, heavy team. And then we switched up again. We throw guys like McLeod and Fiddler in, and those guys were phenomenal, too. So I think that was the biggest thing for our team that year, that we were so deep. And, so, like, we could play any type of game, really.
You guys scored. Victor Arvidsson scored the lone goal in Game 1 against the Blackhawks early on in the first period, and that's all it took. Pekka pitched the shutout. You guys skate away with a 1-0 victory in the United Center and take the series lead. And just like what you were talking about with the predictions with all the national media, no one, there was like a handful that picked you guys to actually win the series. Everybody else, like you said, was picking the Blackhawks pretty easy. But the same holds true, Phil, for game two. Like, everybody saying, okay, the Predators did what they needed to do in Chicago. They got a game, and now everybody basically had the series tied at one going back to Nashville. But obviously you guys had a different plan.
Yeah, like first game, like you said, was a tight game. Pecs probably stole that one for us. I thought we played okay, but Chicago was way better. But Pecs played unbelievable. And then in the second game, I think that was a little bit of a statement game for our team. I think, I don't know, I can't remember. I think it was 4 or 5-0, something like that. But we played phenomenal. Like, that was just, I think that's kind of when all of us realized also, because like I said, the first game could have easily went the other way if Pecs didn't play as good as he did. And then people, that game up with the same effort. And the whole team just played way better also, which, the score, I can't remember exactly the game, but I felt like it was supposed to be, like, maybe not 5-0, but it was a clear win for us.
Yeah.
And a hard-earned win in the way, like, we played great. We had guys like Harry Solinchuk came in and scored a goal, if I don't remember wrong. And it was just, like I said, the same four-line mindset that we had for the end of the regular season and just carrying through the playoffs.
Yeah, it was the Harry Z goal early in the second period. I punched the person next to me in their arm and said, oh, my gosh, the Predators are going to win this. They're absolutely going to win. And then you guys just kind of took off after that goal and, as you said, skated away with the 5-0 victory. I said at the beginning or earlier in the show that I was going to ask you what this feeling was like. So now we have to fast forward all the way to the moment that we're going to really do the deep dive in Game 6 coming up at noon. It was Colton Sissons who, of course, had the hat trick to give you guys the lead with 6 minutes to go. Still a one-goal game with the playoff lives of Anaheim on the line. You can never feel good. But when you had the empty netter with just over 2 minutes to go, I guess it was about 2.5 minutes to go, that's when everybody could exhale, at least in the stands, whether it was a fan or the media. That's when you knew it was over and kind of the party was on. But you're a player. You're on the ice. What is it like after your empty netter and everybody around you, the place is going crazy, knows that you're going to the Stanley Cup final, but what's the mindset for a player? What was the mindset for you when your goal went in, your empty netter went in?
I mean, I just flipped it. Like, it was kind of like I flipped it from, I think, my own, like, our own hash mark. Basically, I just had a second to get my head up and just try to flip it out. And, yeah, I guess that was just the way it was going to go. You know, like, you look at that puck, 9 times out of 10, that just keeps rolling and into the, to the boards and icing. But that one just took a bounce and went in the net. And, I mean, you can tell, like, you stand there and you watch it and everybody's just watching. It's like you said, it's like, feels like it's slow motion. But then once you like the pucks, you say it was just pure joy. It's like you said, like at that point it was still time left, but at that point it was done. Like you could see you could see them too. Like they knew it was done. Everything was just, it was over by that point.
Talking to Philip Forsberg, Nashville Predators, as we count down to our Game 6 remastered. So Phil, those last couple minutes, it was really interesting. It was a little bit of a buildup, right? There was a couple of stoppages. I think the Ducks wanted to mix it up a little bit. I think somebody got a misconduct here or there. But finally, when the horn sounds and everybody's celebrating, I'll always remember the guys coming out on the ice, even the injured guys, right? Ryan Johansson's limping out there in the street clothes. Mike Fisher's in a suit, you know, just trying to get in that huge team photo with everybody on the ice. With all the with those brand new hats right out of the box, Western Conference championships. What do you remember about that? Just taking it all in with your team at center ice, with nobody wanting to leave.
It was awesome. I mean, it's like for everything that we went through. Like it was great. It was so cool, and especially with, like, you've seen all the other teams. Like, you get those hats, and like it seems silly in a way that, but it's like once you're out there, it's awesome. I remember just trying to get snatch a second one for my dad because I know how much he loves those kind of things. So I just tried to get two, and I was happy I was able to do that. And it was great. And then, like, obviously that whole night, it's a weird feeling because, like, I've made it, like, playing World Juniors and stuff like that, and you know you haven't won anything by making it to the final, but you also, like, in this case, like, obviously this is the biggest stage. So there was incredible, like, happiness and enjoyment from everybody. It was phenomenal. And just like I said, with the whole building being around it too, it was great.
As you think about what may be coming here, and I know it's been reported that, you know, the players are all right now in the process of deciding on a few things about this format, but it seems to me, Phil, from what we can see, is, you know, it somebody has a chance here to make another improbable run. What do you think about everybody's going to start over, everybody's going to be fresh, and, you know, step by step, you know, there could be another unlikely type of run. And I'm wondering how much somebody like you and some of the guys who were on that team in 2017, I think it's fair to say you guys have a lot more talent now than you did back then. I mean, why not an opportunity to make another run like that?
Yeah, there's no reason at all. That's the mindset, you know, like, it's always been the mindset, and it's been challenging times, but you also look at it and, you know, like, it's more open than ever before. Like, obviously, like you said, guys come back, like, teams that had injuries get guys back. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. You know, like, we still don't know for sure if it comes back or not, but I think for me personally, the mindset has always been just to stay ready, basically. And now, like, the closer, I guess, it goes up and down, as I'm sure it goes for you guys. One day it feels like it's happening, one day it feels like it doesn't. But at least, like you said, if this agreement comes through, then we know at least what the format would be like. And still, there's a long way to go to get everything back to playing. But the mindset from everybody is, yeah, it's that we were in it. Like, as you said, it's going to be a great, great chance for everybody, and especially for our team with the kind of talent that we do have.
You were saying, you know, you've had some really funny videos, like everybody's, you know, finding things to do, and obviously you're spending your time in a different way, but you mentioned stay ready, right? That there's that mental sharpness that you want, that edge that you want to keep. So what's that been like during this time? How creative have you been with workouts and things like that to try to keep your body and your mind ready for this next challenge, if and when you get the green light?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's been the challenging part, especially me living in an apartment here in Nashville. It's the space is limited. Obviously, the building has closed down, all the amenities and stuff like that. So I've been basically doing a lot of one-leg squats with some dumbbells in my kitchen. So I guess that's what we've been doing. But it's like you said, we're fortunate enough to go down to Georgia there where Aaron's parents has a big property where I can run and do a bunch of different things there. So it's, like I said, it's just been trying to get creative and just try to mix it up and try to stay on top of it.
Philip Forsberg is with us on Darren, Donovan, Chase. So Philip, one thing that I've been doing during this time is, because I've had extra time, is I've gone through and tried to clean up some of my old files that I've had on my computer. And I stumbled across some video that I took of your very first practice here in Nashville. You looked like you were probably 12 years old, but your first time here in Nashville. Take me back to that. What was that like? What was going through your head? They had the press conference, and, you know, obviously the trade had happened to bring you here, but I think you played 5 games or something that year. But what was going through your mind that first time at Bridgestone Arena for your very first practice?
It was. I mean, I was just happy. Like, it was an awesome experience. I've had a great year back home. Just being able to extend the season by playing in the NHL and fulfilling every hockey kid's dream to play in the NHL was phenomenal. And you get out there and you see the players that you've been watching, like Shea Weber and Pekka, and guys that you then grew up beginning to know and play with. It's at that point, you just were, yeah, like you said, felt like a 12-year-old kid too, fulfilling my dream. It was great.
I've heard, we've for years heard Barry Trotz say that all roads to Nashville go through Milwaukee, and you did start here in the NHL, but then did have some time with the Admirals and able to hone your skills and get used to the North American ice. And I know that everybody wants to immediately jump into the NHL, but how beneficial was that time for you to kind of work your way back up?
It was good time. Like you said, I thought I shouldn't have been there, but we had a great team. We had a great lot of good guys. Like, you get to grow up and play with these guys. Like, I play with Sis and Waddy and Tony Boteto and Solomaki. And there's so many guys that have gone the same way. Like I said, we had a really fun team at a time. Basically, everybody in the same kind of age. And yeah, so I thought obviously hockey was more of a challenging period than I would like, obviously would have liked, but just getting to know all the guys and getting to know the lifestyle and playing style over here was definitely a great year in that regard.
One thing that's cool about sports in general, but you know, it seems like in this town with the Titans and Nashville SC and then you guys is seeing some of you all get to mix and mingle. But George Kittle lives here in Nashville, and I know that you and George have gotten to be buddies. So how were you able to meet? How did that come about?
Yeah, so that was through Aaron and his wife Claire. So they've been longtime friends, and I guess that's how we. So once I started getting to know Aaron more and more, we ended up seeing. Yeah, we went and hung out with George and Claire, and we clicked right away. He's obviously a funny guy, and basically the way he's obviously a little different on the field that you guys see than he is, but he still has a very very big personality and he's a great guy, and we've got to know him more and more over the last year or so, and he spent his off season here in Nashville. So usually normally we do. I think his wife and a bunch of people came to a bunch of games before season shut down, kind of after their Super Bowl run, and it's been great. Just getting to know him and Claire and his parents too. They're all great people. So,
have you started the recruiting process yet? Because I know he's got a little bit of time before his contract's up. But have you started that? Hey, you should come to Nashville, or you should be in Nashville all the time and play for the Titans because it's such a great city.
Yeah, I mean it would be phenomenal. But I went out there and watched a game at their stadium out there in San Fran, and it's a pretty good setup there too. So I wish, obviously, he'd be great, but I don't think he could be in a better spot for him personally. So,
Phil, let's wrap it up with this. Who was anybody here from your side of the family for Game 6 back 3 years ago today? Who was anybody in the stands?
Yeah, I had my mom and dad. They were here.
And what did that mean to you to have them in the stands to experience this with you?
It was great. It's like I said, the first thought was to get a hat from my dad. And they've been there through everything, and just being able to share that moment with them here, and it was phenomenal. I can't remember exactly when they got there, but I think they watched the last probably all, maybe even all games in that third round, and then they went back for a week and came back for the finals and watched all the home games here and finals too. So it was a great time, and unfortunately it didn't end the way we would have liked, but hopefully we have a chance.
By the way, we said the other day, if we kind of played the what-if game, what if games were in different places, I brought up, what if game one of the Stanley Cup final was in Nashville and not in Pittsburgh? And, of course, I was talking about the controversial call. Would that have really happened?
Yeah. I mean, you never know. It's easy looking back, but yeah, that's
where the
season could be
too. Yeah, well, I hope you're back out on the ice sooner rather than later. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds great. Take care, guys.
You know, you can listen to us from anywhere. We know a lot of you are at home these days. You can download the Game Nashville app, which is free and easy. Enable Alexa Skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. So keep all those options in mind. We certainly appreciate it, and we appreciate Philip Forsberg for joining us on Friday's show. We wanted you to hear that just in case you missed it. On Friday, really good stuff from him. Speaking of that, it looks like the Board of Governors, they put out a memorandum over the weekend that it looks like the league, guys, is ready to move into their phase two, the transition period, which will follow self-quarantine as players are permitted to return to NHL club training facilities for voluntary small group individualized training activities on ice and off ice. So what do you guys make? I feel like over the weekend what we learned, and we will have This Is What I Know a little bit later, and that's in next hour, 11:45. We'll just push that to today since today is Tuesday, in case people forgot, that I feel like hockey and and the NBA, more details. Things are starting to come out even more where I feel like we're getting closer to learning how this is all going to play out. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I think we're embarking on a very important week and a half here, because to stay on the timetable that everybody would like to, they need to come to some agreements. And there's still some things that have to be worked out. I think in retrospect, listening to Philip Forsberg, the easy part, honestly, was agreeing on the format. As flawed as some might think that is, and there was plenty of feedback. There were a couple of teams that voted against the 24-team format, and they both got hammered for it by, you know, some of the trolls on Twitter. The Lightning voted against it because they thought it was not fair to have to play a team. They earned a bye, but they would be playing a team that's played and won a big 3 out of 5 game series, whereas they would just have a handful of exhibition games that didn't mean anything. They thought that was not the best way to go about it. The Carolina Hurricanes voted against it because they felt like, hey, we shouldn't have to play a 3 out of 5 play-in to get to the playoffs based on what we'd done during the regular season. And so all the Rangers fans got all over them. Oh, you're afraid of the Rangers? Ooh, you're afraid of the Rangers? You know, there's a lot of people that jumped in that way. There are a lot of people that thought, like we discussed extensively, that the bottom line is that the Blackhawks and the Canadians do not belong in this tournament. But that's actually the easy part, right? Agreeing on a format. The real tough part is still to come, and that is all of the details of, are you quarantined? Can you go home? Where are the games going to be played? What about all the health and safety measures that have to be taken care of? That's what they have to get to, I think, this week in all of the sports.
Yeah, I feel like we're close. It's not there yet. I mean, we obviously have a clearer picture than we've had in recent weeks, but I was reading through some of the tweets that you were talking about, Willie, and, you know, people saying, you know, blasting the two teams or the two player representatives that voted against it. I mean, it's they're right, but the fact of the matter is the majority of the players have agreed to it and think, okay, this is the best way. But I still, you know, I said this morning on the rundown, I'm still looking at probably somewhere around August 1st that this actually happens, that, I mean, we're actually playing games. I think they're reporting for training camp, obviously, before then, but I don't think they're actually on the ice for games until at least then, maybe the last week of July. But, you know, they're just now starting the process to get into phase two. You know, you still have to get players back here from Europe. I think Gary Bettman said 17% or had gone back across seas. So getting them back and self-quarantining, I mean, there's still a long way to go before they're actually ready to come back. So who knows what it'll look like, if it'll change, you know, between now and a point where they get going. But at least there's a clearer picture of what return to play looks like for the NHL.
Well, right. I don't know if it's clear.
Also, it's important to distinguish, Darren, that what they voted on was just the format.
Right. I was going to say, there's really nothing clear other
than it's a return to play if we can get all the other stuff working.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 24 teams we already knew was that was the direction. By the time we had gotten off the air last week, we knew that was the direction they were going. I don't know if anything's come out any clearer. August 1st, I mean, what is it going to take to do this format? 3 months?
Probably.
Okay, so if let's go on your date, August 1st. August, September, and you're going to finish at the end of October.
Mm-hmm. And then you're basically taking...
And then what do you... So you're then starting the 2020-21 season when?
I mean, it would be sometime in December.
They've said they want 55 days minimum between the end of the season. This is what the players have put out there.
So that'd be towards the end of December.
I was going to say, that's exactly right. But you're talking about the end of December.
But I got to believe there's a scenario where you can start a little bit earlier in July, best case scenario. Don't you think?
That's what I'm getting at.
If you took the month of June.
I kind of feel like it's got to start a little bit earlier. I don't know how you may – because you don't want to be starting up your season close to January. I mean, when are you ever going to – at some point you have to make up, right? You keep robbing Peter to pay – at some point you have to start on time, right? Your normal schedule. So where do you do that if you're always playing catch up? And so what you're going to end, if you don't start till close to January, you're not going to wrap up until what? August?
Right. Fall? I mean, you're delaying.
You know what I mean? Like, at what point are you going to get caught up? Is that the catch-up point?
But they got to – I mean, that's the whole point of this discussion, though. They have to get – okay, so when can they actually start training and get everybody on ice? If we're just in phase two, which is voluntary, then it's – so how long do you have to be in phase two before phase three begins? I mean, that's figuring that part out. So
phase two is big because that's the start. And then I would think with phase two, there would have to be a call around the globe. Guys, come on back, you know, and start the process of getting into your home city, whether that be in Canada or the U.S., and quarantine, do what you have to do to start to play. So that's, I haven't seen any stories on that, so I don't know that anybody's had to do that. We know the Predators have a handful of guys that did go back to Europe that would, in theory, have to quarantine for a couple of weeks upon arrival.
Yeah, because that's another thing.
So I would hope that call would be very, very soon, but maybe to do that, they have to be a little bit more certain that they're going to play eventually. So I would think you would hope that those guys are in motion trying to make it happen here. Like, there's an article in The Athletic that Devin Dubnyk was quoted, and Mike Russo, who has always had a really good rapport with the players in Minnesota, he seems to be able to get them to talk pretty extensively. Devin Dubnyk, we know, former Predator, briefly a Predator, has always been very outspoken. He's the player rep. You know, he asks a lot of the questions that we've been kicking around for over a month now. It's important to start having these conversations with as many players as we can about, guys, what scenarios are we okay with? Now, I would hope these conversations have already taken place. If they haven't, I don't know what planet some of the guys have been on. From what it sounds like, this is a quote from Dubnyk, it's going to be some sort of hub city scenario, so we've got to talk about that. How long are the guys okay being away for? When are we in this city, or when we're in this city, are we locked in our hotel room? Going from that hotel room to the rink and back only? Are guys okay with that? Can our families come with us? Or if there's a family emergency and we leave the bubble, can we get back to the bubble, or are we done?
Those are all good questions.
All these questions. What about food? What about this or that? You know, there's a ton of stuff. And this is something they have to tackle in all of the sports.
That doesn't surprise me. Those are all very good questions, and it's, as I've said the entire time, there are very few times when I don't want to be in the room. Normally, I want to be in the room, whether having input or just a fly on the wall. Maybe I wouldn't mind being a fly on the wall, but I don't know if I would want to be. I would not want to be in the room trying to make the decisions with these are tough decisions. Those are all very fair questions, and they're going to have to come up with a decision. Now, look, that's part of what we've talked about. There is no right answer, so some of this is just blind faith. You just have to go with something and hope that it works. You know, I know the NBA and Charles Barkley made comments on Paul Feinbaum's show yesterday. It said that, you know, if a player or players on a team in the NBA and they come back and they're in their playoffs, test positive, that team should be eliminated. I don't know
about that.
How do you do that? I mean, so you punish. What if it's the ninth and tenth guys on the bench? What if it's the guys at the end of the roster? You're shutting
down that team in the playoffs? You have to be prepared for all scenarios, but it's a fascinating question he's put out there. What would you do if you're the commissioner?
That's like punishing, you know, a team that you had one player, and this is, you know, obviously a college example, but one player that's ineligible, so you punish the whole team by stripping them of a championship or taking the wins away.
I mean, obviously you remove them immediately, and then you're going to be tested constantly. I mean, they're going to be under careful watch of people in the medical profession. But I just can't – I mean, you know how I feel about Charles Barkley. I love Chuck, and sometimes he drives me crazy with some of the things he says. But this one, I can't agree with that. I mean, how could you shut down a team and eliminate them from the playoffs because a player tests positive or a couple of players – test positive? Like I said, now if it's your superstar, I mean, obviously we know that player is removed. they're done in the series because they're going to go away for at least 2 weeks, at least. So they're out of the picture. But what if it's literally the last guy on your team? You're going to shut down that team in the playoffs like that? That to me sounds
ludicrous.
That sounds ridiculous. And by the way, there is going to be somebody test positive. Somebody's, probably plural. It's not probably. It's going to be somebody's in every sport. Somebody's going to test positive. There are going to be players or people, coaches, whoever, refs. Somebody's going to test positive in every sport. It's going to happen. And you have to have a plan. And I just don't think the plan can be shutting it down. You're never going to get through this if that's your plan, to shut it down. Shut down a team or shut down. So you have to come up with plans. So what do you do when this happens? Not if. When it happens. Because it's going to happen. Even taking all the proper steps, it's going to happen. So what do we do? How do we react? What's the plan when it does happen? I say you're going to have to remove them, and everybody just, you know, remains on the careful watch, and you're getting your temperatures checked, and you know, you've got medical people in the medical profession around you constantly, and you go from there. Now, obviously, if it goes through an entire room and the entire team tests positive, then you have to regroup and say, okay, well, I guess, you know, you'd have to come up with some radical answer to something we have no idea. I mean, can you imagine the trivia books
stop
going back?
For 2 weeks.
How did they lose that series?
Thing. Yeah, I mean,
think about that.
It could be completely
in 2020.
Crazy.
How were the Houston Rockets eliminated from the NBA playoffs? Their entire team tested positive.
Well, it's
for COVID-19, so they were eliminated from the playoffs.
It's stuff like that that has people like Pierre LeBrun at times saying, "I'm still not sure they're going to play." You know, when they get to all this stuff, Devin Dubnyk has a lot of stuff. Now, remember, there's been the committee that I would think has been discussing in detail a lot of these things that we are kicking around here, and then Devin Dubnyk raises these questions, right? But that's the committee of just, what, the five, six players, I don't know exactly how many, plus the health experts, plus the league, all of that stuff. They've been meeting over the course of the last several weeks. Devin Dubnyk is a player rep. He gets the information from those guys, then passes it along to his team. I think it's Nick Bonino for the Predators. Is that right?
That sounds right from what I've heard. That sounds
so. He's got to disseminate all that info. So you have 700 people who at some point are going to get a chance to vote on all of this stuff and say, let's give it a shot, or, yeah, don't feel good about it. You know? So until they do that, we don't really know. And I think the NBA will have to go through that same process. I think they're going through it now. Major League Baseball has got to do all of that, plus agree on the financials of the game, so we know how important that's going to be. And they do want to start in July, no later, right? I think I saw that some major leaguers are working out at their team facilities. I saw some Rays players working out. So this is going to be a very interesting, because it's time to get to cut to the chase, right? I think there was an NBA player, I can't remember who it was, but it's like, okay, we've played enough of the what if game. It's time to make some decisions.
Yeah,
right? It's time to make.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
look, you can play the what if game.
You can play
all day,
summer,
every day,
until, yeah,
all
until,
summer
until we
long.
Get to
That's
September,
exactly
and like,
right.
Hey, you know, I thought of a new one today, guys.
Exactly.
Well,
it's endless. The what if game is endless. So,
and the virus is going to be there. The
exactly.
virus is going to be
and
there.
And they're
the whole time.
They're seeing communities reopen. I mean, that's another thing that I wonder if they're factoring in. I mean, they see cities starting to slowly reopen and go through their different phases. You know, we mentioned Nashville now in phase two. So I wonder how much. I mean, I would think that factors into a lot of their decision
making. Chase, Disney, Universal, and SeaWorld are hunkered down in a room, figuring out the best plan to open up their parks here.
Sure.
I mean,
beaches are open.
Right. Beaches are back. I mean, I agree with that. Like, you can play this game all day long. You're going to have to make some decisions that nobody has the answers to, but you have to just say that's what we felt was best, and that's what we have to live with, and these are our decisions. And, oh, by the way, you can change as things change. This can be your decision now,
yep,
and you may have to adjust on the fly. That's how it works. But, you know, to your point, Willie, it's not going away, okay? What, June 1st, July 1st, August 1st, the virus is not going away. It's still going to be there.
And you have to be willing to live with it.
Yes, you have to be willing to talk it all out and just make decisions that nobody ever thought they'd have to make in their lifetime. But this is the cards that everybody's been dealt, and so you're going to have to do that and move on. Or you're not coming back. I mean, that's exactly the other choice. Or you're not coming back. All right, we'll come back. We are going to come back. And we're going to start.
Back.
We are. We're going to come back and start hour number two with Teron Davenport. We'll talk a little bit about the Titans and the NFL season as news continues to circulate around that sport. So we'll talk to Teron Davenport. We'll talk with TD on the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.